So listen again to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, this time from the New Living Translation. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who were under the law. When I am with the Gentiles, who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I recently read a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that really spoke to me. It was a quote I'd never heard before. He said, "It is our job as ministers to bring the church back to the center of the human race. But we can only bring the church back to the center of the human race when we bring Christ back to the center of the church." That's a good word, amen? The challenge for the church today is not to stand outside of culture and critique the culture. Our job is to understand the culture we live in and develop ways that are effective to share the good news with those who need to know the Savior. Pastor Randy Alcorn wrote, "God's truths are not bricks to throw at people. They are bread to feed people." Jesus met people where they were and shared God's good news in a way they could understand, using stories and illustrations that related to their environment in which they lived. He spoke to the needs of their soul and welcomed them into his presence, whether it was a child, an adulterous woman, a hated tax collector, a leper, and others who were marginalized by the religious establishment of his day. They sought to make entrance into God's kingdom tedious with many rules and customs. But Jesus simply invited them to open their hearts to him, and he would make possible the transformation needed to take place in their lives. Jesus just loved people. And everything he did during his ministry on earth was motivated by his desire to see people experience the full life that God had intended for them. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 18 through 30, he said, "Come to me," 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Are there weary people in this world in need of rest? The rest that we find in knowing Christ? You bet there are. And in a world that is starving for truth and hope, it is time for the body of Christ to shine. It is an opportune time for the people of God to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are hungry for something that is real. But to do so, we must find a way to reach people where they are. The days are long past, and we know this. when you put up a church and people run through the doors. That season is over. But we can seek common ground with people in our spheres of influence, in our families, and in our communities in order to tell them about Jesus and his desire to be in relationship with them. And you know what? That's what the Presbyterian Church actually does pretty well. We try to seek common ground. With all of this in mind, the Apostle Paul wrote in verses 19 and 22, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some." Paul, placing himself in the position of a slave in the household, shows just how far he was willing to go in adjusting his lifestyle and his behavior in order to win people to Christ. He never compromised the doctrines of Scripture, nor did he change the meaning of God's word to make it more agreeable to those he was trying to reach. But he was willing to become like his audience in order to reach them. So when he was with the Jews, he conformed to their practices. If he had gone into a synagogue flouting Jewish laws and showing no respect for their laws or customs, he would have offended the very people he was trying to share the gospel with. Though he never conceded that keeping those regulations was a requirement for salvation, by adapting to them, he gained an audience so that he might win those under the law, even though he was free from it. And it was a difficult line for him to walk at times. Galatians chapter 2 records the time when Paul rebuked Peter for acting like a Jew among the Gentiles. He wrote in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14, "When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, 'Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws that are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions?'" He goes on to say, "For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die at all." Paul knew that the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for sinners is the model that revealed the true nature of God's love. So in order to win people to Christ, he focused on what was better for others than himself. The entirety of a believer's life is to be an expression of the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ for the world. And sometimes that will mean forsaking our preferences and getting out of our comfort zones to meet people where they are. As I've said many times before, we change the method, but we never change the message. When Paul was with the Gentiles who did not follow the Jewish law, he did not follow the custom of the law, but he obeyed the teachings of Christ, which fulfilled the law of God. When Paul was with those who he described as weak, he was sensitive not to do anything that might cause them to stumble. And by weak, he means those with a weak conscience. They were already believers, but they needed to grow into a deeper knowledge of Christ and a deeper understanding of their freedom in Christ. Formerly, they may have been Gentiles who were a part of religious practices that sacrificed animals to false gods. After meat had been sacrificed, it often wound up being sold in the market. Those who were weak of conscience may have felt uncomfortable eating meat from the market unless they knew where it came from. And by encouraging them to eat meat, to eat that meat, their conscience would be violated. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 9, "So what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god and that there is only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But for us, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat meat that has been offered to idols, they think of it as worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble." You see, the main goal is to win people to Christ and to help their faith develop and deepen. Therefore, Paul says he would rather give up his freedom if it would cause someone else to sin. Paul's strategy is a viable one for the church today. If you are really serious about winning people for Christ, find common ground with those you seek to reach. Avoid a know-it-all attitude. An arrogant attitude will surely close a non-believer off from hearing and receiving the gospel. And we've all been around know-it-all Christians, and we don't want to hear them. Amen? So why do we think non-believers want to hear them? Paul did not preach with pride, counting numbers of converts. Instead, he preached with love for the gospel and love for people. More than ever, people need to know the love of Christ. Society is filled with people in great need of the healing and transformation that knowing Christ brings. Therefore, we must be sensitive to the needs and concerns of others and help them to feel accepted and look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. They're there all around us if we're just open and if we just look. 1 Peter 3, verses 15b and 16 says, "If someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." But the key is this in verse 16. "But do this in a gentle and respectful way." Stop telling people they're going to hell. They know it. Amen? People from all cultures need to hear the gospel. And if we desire to participate in God's grand plan, we must be willing to adjust our approach in different settings. And the prime example of finding common ground to win people for Christ was given by God himself through the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. God became one of us. He walked in our shoes. He came to a people and a culture and actively demonstrated God's love and desire to redeem us so then that we can be all God has planned and fashioned us to be from the beginning of time. He found common ground to rescue us from sin and separation from God. And now he tells us to do the same. Jesus said, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come so that my house may be filled. Amen?
Amen.
That's our call. Sometimes the church gets so caught up in non-essentials. Amen? How people dress. If they have a hat and they haven't been taught not to wear a hat, church, don't say anything to them. Get to know them first. Amen? If their pants are sagging, buy them a belt. Maybe they don't have one. Amen? If they don't know all the right words, if they even come with a sense of anger and suspicion, just love them anyway. Amen? Who are the people in our community? Who are the people in our spheres of influence that need to know Christ? We have to love them where they are and show them that God loves them too, so that his house may be filled. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Because God, you chose to use us. And you have given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You've given us yourself. You've delivered us from the power of sin and death. You've translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son, so Satan doesn't have authority over our lives anymore. You continue to pour your life and your healing upon our lives and release us from things that would keep us from being effective witnesses for you. You've given us your Spirit, who promises to guide us and to teach us all things. And you've given us your word that is life to us, our roadmap. Father, help us to take all that you have given us and mold us and shape us, Lord, into vessels that shine for you. God, that people might come to know you, Lord, in this world that is in so need of a Savior, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.